This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm in the studio with
Arminia Brudge
and Christine Wong.
And as usual, we'll be with you all the way through until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's just after 12:05 on Monday. The weather seems to have cleared up a little bit. It's getting a little bluer outside. The clouds seem to be shifting somewhat. We've got no rain here in KL so far. Mm-hmm. Update us if you've got it where you are, though. Interesting to tell people what we're doing and how the weather is. How was your 2 week working from home then?
Oh, relaxing as always.
Relaxing as always.
Yeah.
Productive.
Productive. Mm-hmm. See what she does, Arvin?
I want to say productive too. I was doing a lot of work.
You can't say it now that she's always. I can't. You see what happened now. Yeah. You know, when you. Anyway.
Can't catch me like that.
I know, but it's so easy. Right. Of course, we have a question for you today. And we posed it earlier on at around 10 a.m. this morning. The question is, what qualities are you looking for in your incoming job candidates? We found an article earlier on, and the article is basically about 7 job search rules that you should break from Fast Company, which Chris will be talking about later on. We also managed to get hold of a couple of guests that we'll be speaking to, Derek Toh, the founder and CEO of WOB, as well as Joel Pang, the general manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia. We've got some of their insights a little bit later on. So that's the question. What qualities are you looking for in your incoming job candidates? Has anything changed during the pandemic? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, as usual, is at BFM Radio. We're then moving on to a story about eating in the age of COVID, about how things obviously are not the same, and what you should be doing to take care of yourself and others while you're out grocery shopping, eating in restaurants, picking up other stuff, things that you probably already know but might want reminding of. Finishing off with...
We're talking about how to keep employees engaged in a fully distributed company.
Whatever that means. Chris.
Yeah.
Kick us off.
So this is, as you mentioned, an article all about 7 job search rules that you should break, because we get a lot of advice about what to do when job searching. But now the advice, some of it is quite tired and outdated. So the first piece of advice that you should not follow is head to the job boards to look for openings. So
what?
Obviously,
don't do that anymore?
Yeah, because obviously job boards have a lot of positions listed, but apparently, while they yield roughly 50% of applications, only less than 1% of those individuals land the job, because by the time those jobs are posted, the company may already have leads on great candidates or have made a decision about their next hire. So spend more time focusing on your contacts rather than scouring job boards for general positions. The second one is to reach out to everyone in your network. So don't do that. Instead, be more focused and think about the people who see you as the professional that you are and who are familiar with your best work, and strategically focus on a fraction of your network instead of spreading yourself too thin. The third thing to not do is be sure you're qualified, weirdly enough. But what this means is that basically a 2019 Monster survey found that recruiters reset expectations to consider candidates who have most or some of the skills necessary for the role. And a lot of people talk themselves out of applying for the role because they think that they're not qualified or they don't fulfill every single criteria.
Right.
So don't lie, obviously, or exaggerate your skills. But, you know, if you think you can do like 75% of it, just go for it. The fourth one is to adapt to be a good culture fit. So don't do that. Hiring managers may obviously be looking for a culture fit when interviewing candidates, but don't try to fit yourself into what you think they want. Just be yourself. Be transparent about what you're looking for in the job and how you work best. Number 5 is don't bother with a cover letter is another rule. They're often an afterthought, and there's even debate over whether you really need one. But according to Fast Company, Resume Lab's research found that a great cover letter can land you an interview even if your resume isn't strong enough to do so. So cover letters are super important and are a short, strong intro to go along with your resume. The 6th thing is resume format doesn't matter. Apparently, it actually really does. So Amanda Augustine, career expert at Top Resume, says you need to create your resume to be picked up by applicant tracking systems. So use clear text and a simple clean layout with clearly marked sections and white space. Typically a hybrid or combination resume format is best. You know, resumes with a left-hand rail or column offer a fresher look that catches recruiters' eyes. A resume with a right-hand rail or column does not. Also, try to avoid the phrases references available upon request at the bottom of the resume. Don't use two spaces after each period. Also, don't include an upfront objective. These all make your resume look outdated. The final thing to not do is to wait for the perfect job. Because especially in this climate, when you're looking for jobs, you know, don't think of it as this is going to be a long-term thing or this is going to be something that affects my career majorly. You know, just find opportunities to learn and grow. Look at this next job opportunity as something that's going to pay the bills and build the experience that you need to take the next step in your career. Identify the skills you need to build to get to your perfect job and then go after positions that will help you build those skills instead of waiting for like the perfect job, quote unquote.
Interesting stuff.
I like the part about the cover letter thing because I think a lot of I know personally people who think cover letters are resumes. For a long time, even before I got my first job, I thought cover letters were part of the resume. But then later you get to know that they're two separate things, and it's like your resume is all the stuff that you've done, and the cover letter is why people should hire you, and it's like a short essay about yourself basically. And I like that part because I think we've seen a lot of cover letters that are just wrong.
Yes.
Or like too lengthy and too long-winded.
Or not with no content at all, on the other hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a bunch of words. So I think it's a kind of an art form, how to structure the best-looking cover letter. There's a good format to get people reading. Mm-hmm. And there's also a way not to do it and to get people like turned off.
I mean, I guess you could think about it, you know, when, I don't know about you guys, but when I had to apply for university, I had my transcript, but then I also had to write a personal statement. And that's kind of the same, it's analogous, you know? So your resume or your CV should be what you've done, but your cover letter can be a bit more personal and can give more insight to you as a person.
I think what is interesting about this is pretty much how you can look at somebody's resume and CV and almost know when and where they were educated, you know, without actually looking at the places they were educated. You know what I mean? Stuff as simple as the double spacing after a period and, you know, that was something that when I was at school was nailed into me. You must have two spaces after period. And then as you go through your working life, of course, these things get altered and changed and you're like, no, I can't do that anymore. But even the way in which a CV and resume is laid out has been changed so many times over the past few years. Don't do it this way, do it this way. Don't do it this way, do it that way. And before, it was literally like, everything was aligned down the middle. You might have a little bit of a left margin, and it just it was done like that, and that's the way it was done. But when we receive CVs nowadays, you know, from people who are graduating, especially from like media schools and stuff, and they look fantastic, you know, and that for me has really started to make things stand out. Before, it was like literally a piece of typed paper and you looked at the qualifications. Now it's more about, you know, they're making an effort as to how it is presented as well.
Yeah.
And for me, that really makes a difference.
I think also there's a sort of unspoken rule that your CV should be quite short. Like I think one to maybe two pages maximum. But I think that's really helpful. It helps you to actually narrow down the skills and qualifications you think are relevant to the job at hand. So I think that is also super useful.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know then, what qualities are you looking for if you're hiring in your incoming job candidates? And for those of you who are maybe looking for work, perhaps ask that question, you know, of people around you as well. And what would you do differently for your resume and for your CV to make sure that you stand out perhaps from some of the other people that are sending in their resumes? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. We're going to have some insights, of course, in just a moment from our couple of guests. We've got Derek Toh, the founder and CEO of WOB, as well as Joel Pung, the general manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia, all coming up after the break. Meanwhile, Vampire Weekend coming up with A Punk here on BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Ibraj.
Today we're asking the question of what qualities are you looking for in your incoming job candidates? Have things changed over the last few months during the pandemic? All based off of a story that we found this morning on Fast Company about seven job search rules you should break. Some interesting ones, you know, that we had thought that these were like the gospel of searching for jobs, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. We've had some feedback, though. We've got a tweet. We've got some Instagram messages. Let's go with Instagram first.
So on Instagram, the Jun Yu says that he's looking for culture fit, which is very important. Mm. And Syed Mohammed Did says, can do and does deliver.
Arv, what have you got?
Over on Twitter, this is from Benji, who says that proactive and hardworking instead of showing off qualifications and asking for demands.
Mm. I've got one from Maggie Best, actually, that's just come in right now. Hi, Maggie. It's a long one. She says, I won't be employing anyone, but I sure hope my employer doesn't bring in prima donnas, whether they are experienced workers or new grads. I would prefer fellow colleagues who do not think they are too good for the rest of the population. Do not treat the company as a short-term stepping stone, because I believe employer and employees can and should mutually benefit each other. Team players who are generally interested in achieving objectives and goals, because people with private agendas usually aren't, and there's a tendency to obstruct progress or success when they have to choose between the company and or team or their personal gains, forgetting that they are being paid to do the job. Fair enough. Thank you very much, Maggie. Straight to the point, there, Maggie. You know, I think that can be true of a lot of offices. You know, people do come in with an agenda, right? Of course, it's not just us talking about this. Chris and managed to get on the phone with Derek Toh and Joel Pang. Derek Toh, of course, is the founder and CEO of WOB. Joel Pang is the general manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia, to answer a few questions of ours. First question we posed: are companies listing different kinds of jobs now than they were before the MCO? For example, are the positions more suited to remote work?
The main thing that we're noticing is that there are certain kinds of jobs where the demand hasn't really been affected. So the obvious ones are obviously tech, right? So because like a lot of the digital businesses obviously are still thriving and still growing, and there are lots of companies that are trying to digitize their business. So naturally, I think tech hasn't really been affected. We do see a lot of postings. We actually have a lot of requests from clients to help us look for like coders, programmers. So that part, I think, definitely hasn't been affected. And if I wanted to kind of guess, it's probably going to continue to grow, right? The other one that hasn't really been affected, actually, the demand is still there. It's a lot of like sales and marketing jobs. Now, I think some, you might find this obvious because, you know, when the economy is kind of taking a bit of a backseat, maybe sales jobs also take a bit of a backseat. But I think companies are quite, I imagine many companies are quite bullish in the sense where, you know, everyone wants to recover. And in order to recover, you have to work on revenue. So a lot of sales and marketing positions are still, you know, very much in demand. So, and we actually think that should probably continue.
Companies are definitely listing different kinds of jobs now that we are in the post-MCO, i.e. recovery period. So we are starting to see more jobs being posted that require less face-to-face or social interaction. We are talking about jobs like call centers, telemarketing, and so on. Similarly, we are starting to see more jobs in the admin clerical rank and file areas, or your entry-level office jobs that enable remote working moving forward. So we may be looking at jobs like virtual secretaries, receptionists, and so on. Thirdly, jobs that are coming back due to market reopening are definitely starting to increase as well. So we are also talking about, you know, industries and categories like F&B, retail, supermarkets, and even outdoor sales or brand ambassadors. And this is a given, granted that, you know, our economy has gone into a little bit of a slowdown during the MCO. And now such jobs are coming back once again. And lastly, we are also starting to see an emergence of this gig economy, where we are talking about micro-tasks, jobs that allow job seekers to earn a small amount of stipend or incentive by dedicating 1 to 2 hours of their time just, you know, doing surveys and things like that.
Have the qualities that companies are looking for in candidates changed? Like, are they looking for more adaptability or flexibility, for example?
Yeah, 100%. We actually get a lot of like questions from candidates and job seekers directly. Some of them, you know, some of the career-related questions, and they will ask us about, oh, what should I do if, you know, my current employer is asking me to switch roles, you know, is it okay, should I leave? It's actually becoming very common. So we can see internally there's a lot of changes. What I will say to a candidate job seeker is that, well, it is very strange times, right? And companies are trying to survive. And the fact that many companies are reassigning you to a different role is actually a positive sign, in the sense where, you know, they want you around, they want to continue to grow with you. It's just that the previous role that you're probably doing isn't as important or as relevant anymore for the company to adapt. So they need their workforce to be able to adapt at the same time. And I think that also applies to new people that they bring into the company right now. I think because there's so much uncertainty going on in the world, like in the country and what's going to happen, a lot of companies are emphasizing on whether an employee or potential employee is willing to be flexible with their work, you know, should they decide to have to change it. I think this is very, very obvious thing, because even companies themselves find it very difficult to predict what's going to happen 3 months, 6 months, 1 year from now.
Post MCO, qualities have generally stayed the same in terms of what employers are looking for in job seekers, though there have been a slight evolution, I would say, of what employers are looking for. Definitely, people are looking for the same set of soft skills, technical skills, good attitude. But now they're also looking at the areas of adaptability as well as resilience. So we are talking about job seekers who are able to bounce back and come back stronger, and also job seekers who are able to be more digitally adaptable. So they are able to even consider arrangements like telecommuting for work and being able to plug in from their respective residences so that they can still stay active in the job economy.
So Derek and Joelle, what is a job search rule that you think is no longer applicable or that job seekers should break?
I'm not sure if it's a job search rule, but I think in the past, people always look for permanent employment. Like contract employment is always seen as like not as good, right? Like permanent employment is more, you know, it gives you more stability, and it's you kind of prefer that, and people kind of not want to do contract roles. But at the moment, there are lots of companies who are perfectly stable, as stable as it can be, right, based on current circumstances, and they still want to hire, they still want to grow. But at the same time, you know, they're not willing to like bet 100% what it's going to look like a year from now. So they're choosing to hire good positions on contract, right? So let's say 1 year from now, they decide, oh, maybe this team doesn't need to be so big. It's easier for them to manage their workforce. So as a job seeker, I would probably say right now, like, focus on whether that role is good or not for your long-term career. You know, not be too bothered on whether it's a permanent role or contract role, or whether a company wants to hire you on an internship first before offering you a full-time role. Because in the current kind of job market, right, what's most important is for you to keep having a job, keep working, keep having experience, and don't shy away from a temporary job, because, you know, it's like I said, like, it's a very interesting time right now. So it's not unique to you or what you're experiencing. Generally, the market's behaving like this. But if you can think a bit long-term, it's okay. If it's a good role, even some contract, you should take it.
It's interesting when we think about what are some of the job search rule or rules that, you know, we think might no longer be applicable for job seekers. And I think the biggest one here is that we no longer need to think about your job as a 9-to-5 and that you can only have one job at any one point in time. Because with this COVID-19 situation in place, everyone is telecommuting for work. And I think that this has provided more opportunities for job seekers to be connected and engaged to employment opportunities. So we are talking about having maybe a main or full-time role, but even in the evenings or over the weekends when you have some surplus of time, you can still take on gigs, micro gigs. And we are starting to see a lot of our job seekers on the Fast Jobs platform applying for multiple roles because of the hunger and the desire to return to the workforce again.
Derek and Joelle, just a quick question. Have our standards for what is considered digitally savvy increased? You know, are things like basic graphic design and coding skills more expected now?
It's a very broad definition, right? So what we do find, like even us, like we, you know, when we recruit people and as we go and look at our employers grow, a job seeker's digital savvy is a bit loosely defined. I think what most companies care about is whether they understand how the digital world works and less about whether they're able to do programming or coding. Like, for example, in WARC, 70% of our staff are in sales and marketing. and a majority of them, you know, didn't study programming or they didn't study like digital marketing specifically. But, you know, they actually understand our world very well, and, you know, they can relate our world to our clients very well. And it's because I think they grew up in this kind of digital world, if you like. So they understand how the internet works. They understand how mobile apps work. And unfortunately, you can't really capture that in like a certificate right now. So I think with a lot of employers, when they try to identify if a candidate is digital savvy or not, I mean, they try to do it through an interview by asking them what their thoughts are about the app, to give them a feedback about, say, the platform, what do you think of this website. And through that feedback, that's how they try to see how you know, a candidate's mind is tuned and whether they understand how the internet works.
Sorry about that. Bit of a technical issue there. I'll ask Joel the same question. Have our standards for what is considered digitally savvy increased? You know, are things like basic graphic design and coding skills more expected now?
Digital savviness is no longer what we consider as in the past, where, okay, you know how to use a computer, you know how to get yourself connected to the internet. I would say that digital savviness has become imperative in the new norm or the workforce of the current day because of how much, you know, acceleration the COVID-19 has pushed companies into digital transformation. So digital savviness sometimes means knowing how to use a basic technology or software like Zoom, like Google Suites and so on, just to even be able to stay connected or even be considered for job opportunities because of how much remote working is coming into play in the new norm. And secondly as well, being digitally savvy may also mean that I know how to conduct a really strong virtual interview just so that I can give myself the opportunity to be considered for job opportunities, because we're starting to see that happening a lot these days.
Finally, how has your company improved the remote screening process for job applicants?
Yeah, so when MCO first started, we recognized that a lot of employers were still looking to hire, but of course, the interviews were not really happening. And I think what happened with a lot of employers is, you know, they would probably avoid like a face-to-face meeting unless it was really necessary. And so, you know, there are lots of phone interviews going on, and then job seekers also found it a bit harder to kind of, you know, stand out and catch the attention of the employer. So we actually launched like a video cover letter function in which a job seeker just needs to record a 30-second video just talking about, you know, who they are, ask, you know, answer a general question within 30 seconds, who they are, you know, or what they're looking for. And with the employer, while they're screening CVs, they can actually look at this short 30-second video at the same time. So it literally saves them like hours and hours of screening and also helps the job seeker stand out, right? So instead of having to call every job seeker one by one, there's now this little video they can actually watch side by side with the CV to help them make this decision. And for job seekers, we have feedback from job seekers to say that, you know, their CV sometimes doesn't quite stand out by itself, but along with that video, it really makes a big difference, right? So employers actually, you know, the call-up rate for them to invite them for interview is higher. So I think, like, increasingly there'll be a lot of these kind of virtual tools to help both sides make this decision a bit better.
So being a part of Fast Jobs, which is a blue-collar job platform, we are definitely looking at how we can improve remote screening processes, not just for our team at Fast Jobs, but also for all our employers who are looking for this rank and file, even operational job seekers across the board, because we are starting to see job opportunities returning back into the economy. And we have always had our signature features like WhatsApp to apply, where job seekers can make the first move and reach out to employers via WhatsApp, which is their most common means of communication, as well as Fast Chat, which allows our employers to ask a series of, you know, questions to pre-screen job seekers on the get-go. And this is what we call, like, you know, our chatbot features. And these are all features that we believe will play a very strong role in helping employers to employ job seekers in this challenging and what we call the new norm kind of climate.
Okay, thanks for that, guys. And to hear more from Joelle, you can tune into Her Vantage this Wednesday at 11 a.m. Right, again, we want to hear from you guys regarding this topic. What qualities are you looking for in your incoming job candidates if you're hiring? If you are somebody who's looking for work, perhaps tell us what you are doing to make yourself stand out a little bit amongst all of the people that are applying for work. Again, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. I've got a couple messages over on WhatsApp that we'll get to after this. But first, Gloria Gaynor with If You Want It, Do It Yourself here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.